At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Hi, I'm Dino Tripodos, and by the time this podcast is over, if I smell like leather and oak, it's quite manly. And it's all about this bottle and our guests, Steve Lambert and Dave Shepard, tonight from Leather and Oak Spirits on Whiskey Business. Tripodis, and welcome back to Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. Our very first podcast of 2024 as we kick off
2024.
Our eighth year.
Yeah. Oh. Is it eight?
Years? I don't know. Eight? Seven?
I lost count after like eight episodes.
I don't know. Right. Me either.
I don't even remember that.
It's been a lot of years and a lot of whiskeys.
How many seasons does this podcast have?
This doesn't have a season. You know, people do seasons. People do seasons. They do like 12. That's our season. We're like TV used to be back when we were growing up. 32 episodes.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. You know, and we just never stop. Right. We don't have a
until
season.
One of the characters died.
One long, long season.
No cliffhanger, nothing.
Nothing. Aww. But our last podcast of the year was This Is As Merry As We Get.
Yep.
That was a lot of fun, our Christmas show. And then we really haven't, I see Hansberry because of the radio station.
We work together.
But I haven't seen you guys since the holidays.
Yeah, so true.
Chip and John.
Yes.
Yeah. And you guys have been busy with your...
What's it called?
It's called Edith Keeler's Bar and Grill.
Edge of Forever Bar and Grill,
because that was the name of the episode.
That's a deep cut.
Edith Keeler's Edge of Forever Bar and Grill.
Yeah, yeah.
The name of the episode is City on the Edge of Forever.
Right.
And John loves that title, loves that episode as I do.
And but I love that. I love that too.
I thought I was the one that added the Bar and Grill part because it's so on an Edge of Forever is so huge and vast and encompassing.
Yeah.
Tacking that on at the very end is like making it intimate.
And it's good. And familiarizing it. I said stay with it. I like the title because you guys went back and forth.
We already got a comment from somebody that said I'm subscribing right now and I haven't even watched it. It's just based on the title.
Yeah. See, told you.
It's great.
The nerds are doing very well. I'm a fan. I think I was your first subscriber.
You were.
I was. Yeah. And your subscribership is increasing.
We're almost at 100.
Your views are great. No, seriously. You know how long it took us to get to 100?
Yeah, like a year and a half.
Yeah, we were saying like eight years. Yeah, I think we just reached 100 last week.
But their latest episode has like, they're just on YouTube. Yeah. They're just on YouTube. Yeah. They have like 379 episodes, but I'm happy to say that our last episode of Whiskey Business is gaining on your ass. We have 47.
Damn.
Yes.
We have 47.
Watch out, Edith Bunker.
Hey, those are all YouTube numbers. That's not where the real numbers come from.
That's not where the real numbers come from. But it's a testament to the hard work that they put in. And John does the video stuff. Chip does a lot of the research. And you guys work really well together.
Yeah.
And I'm very proud and happy for you. Yeah, I would like to see some of that work come back to Whiskey Business at some level, because I told John, I said, for every six little shorts that you put out, could you put maybe one Whiskey Business?
Yeah, it's like my kid.
For every six, I understand, it's new, it's exciting. Yeah.
My kid will be like, let me show you this Minecraft world, and he shows me this digital world he built, and it's like pristine, and it's the most creative thing in the world, and then you go up to his room, and it's just a shit show, it's pot, it's the pigsty. You can put a little effort into the real world, son.
Yeah. Well, we have a New Year's resolution that we're going to do more stories for Whiskey Business.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Remember where you came from, gentlemen.
I know.
Chip memorized the business.
If he does a better job memorizing the business than you've been doing it for 7 years, and he gets it smooth and right, you know, you're just trading away a job.
No, but well, see, you know, Whiskey Business is a podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey.
Uh-huh.
And join us on Facebook at Whiskey Business with Dino Tripodis, and on YouTube at Whiskey Business Pod, and at Facebook and Instagram, Whiskey Business, the podcast with Dino Tripodis. And now back to you, Dino Tripodis.
That was all wrong.
I had nothing to worry about.
It was not right at all. It was actually not right at all.
You're good, man. You're good.
You're good. Job security. You're all set. Don't you worry.
The lesser of the two evils.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, but you got.
I also want to thank our parent company, Evergreen Podcast.
Right, that's who knew. I forgot something.
For keeping us in the fold and with them as well.
Join us wherever you get all your favorite podcasts. Yeah. But go to Evergreen. They support us.
They push it all through. All right.
Now back to Dino Tripodis.
All right. Thank you, Chip. First, I want to mention that the guest bottle is. I'm very excited about it. This is leather and oak. I don't know anything about this particular whiskey other than it comes from Hilliard, Ohio, and it's a distillery. It's the boys that'll be coming here shortly. We'll find out all about this. I've never had it. I've never tasted it. This is exciting. This is what a new year should be about. Adventures.
New things.
New discoveries. Yeah. I never pour myself first. Have a seat. Take one of those two seats and welcome the Steve on, Lambert and Dave Shepherd, close, boys. Buddy. Come on in and welcome to Whiskey Business. And would you like a pour of your own product? Okay, well, why don't you go ahead and
I am technically doing dry January, so I figure if I drink a liquid death with my whiskey, it counts.
I told you before, the minute you take one drop of whiskey, you're done with dry January.
It's damp January.
Yeah, I heard damp January. That's a new thing where people, once again, rationalizations. A damp January is just a rationalization.
I can't not try this fine product that these gentlemen brought for us. Yeah, come on.
Just say that you're going to cut back and be honest with yourself. Do damp January, but you're not doing dry January. The minute it touches your lips.
Moist at January.
moist. So I'm excited. Leather and Oak Spirits. Welcome, gentlemen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're our first podcast of the year, and I can't think of a better way to do it with a bourbon that is how old?
That is a small batch made up with four barrels. Two are 6.5 years old. Two are 7.5 years old.
Really?
Yes.
But the company was founded in 2019, so explain yourself.
Well, that's a little bit of a story from the standpoint of I was an original investor in another small A3A distillery here in Ohio.
Wow, that's good.
And say that a little louder, please.
That's really good.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Cheers. 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 Cheers.
Come on, guys. Take a look at each other.
Continue the story, and you know, I want to dig into what's in this. But this is great.
So, it was not a very well-run operation.
I see.
And they ultimately ended up in receivership. Mm-hmm. And so David and I bought out the assets and started Leather and Oak Spirits from there. But so I was part of making this back in the original form.
I gotcha. All right. And Leather and Oak, how'd you come up with the name?
Another interesting story. We got lots of them. David and I were we had gone down to southeastern Georgia to pick up a trailer for our cigar club, and on the way back, we were kicking around different names, and we wanted to have something that a nice leather chair and oak room. It wasn't necessarily what the bourbon was, but it's just all about the ambiance or the feeling that you're going to sit down and have a cigar and a bourbon.
So you're not going to get, essence of leather or oak in this particular.
I don't know if you've ever tasted leather, but it's.
No, it's not good.
It's not good. No, there's none of that in there.
but you'll get somebody who said, you'll hear that author, the nose. I'm picking up a little bit of leather in the nose. Right. Are you really?
Leather?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Manure.
If it's a shitty whiskey, I'm picking up a little pleather.
Yeah, right.
A little pleather. I'm picking up a little vinyl. A little vinyl.
Corinthian vinyl.
Before we dig into what's actually in this bottle, what's crafted and so forth and so on, because I want to know a little bit more about the whiskey that we're drinking. How'd you two get together. You mentioned Cigar Club.
How'd you meet?
Yeah, picking up a trailer for Cigar Club.
Cigars.
So you guys, cigar. Yeah, okay.
That's how we met. We are part of Capital City Cigar Club.
Oh, okay.
Not as a plug, but just
that's all right. Plug away.
It's an event that we get together once a month, and cigars. There's drinks, food, and fellowship.
I see. And were you whiskey enthusiasts before you ever got into this business?
Definitely.
Oh, yes.
What was your favorite whiskey, Dave?
Before Leather and Oak. I'm actually more of a Scotch guy.
Okay.
So Lagavulin 16 is probably my go-to.
Oh, okay. You have expensive taste, my friend.
I do.
Yes, you do.
That's why, you know, I'm with him.
That's a damn fine Scotch. So you're, okay. Yeah, beautiful Scotch. You still drink it?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
My wife got me one, a new fifth for Christmas.
Nice. How long does that last?
It's over.
Depends. Yeah. It depends on how many of my buddies are over. So
that's funny. And what about you? What was your go-to before you started up this company?
I don't know that I had a particular go-to. Just simply, I started drinking Old Granddad, which was on my dad's.
Back in college, yeah. Ohio State.
Yeah. Oh, well, it was well before that.
My dad.
It was before college.
On my dad's bedside. Yeah. On my dad. Yeah.
But no, just I've loved bourbon. I love rye. I love
rye, definitely.
A lot of, I just love flavors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can't describe it. It's just,
yeah.
When I had COVID, I was more scared of not getting my taste buds back than I was of dying. Okay, yeah. So it just.
What's the point of living if you can't taste bourbon anyway?
That's right.
I actually credit. I'm surprised you got it because I credit all the whiskey and the cigarettes for keeping everything at bay.
Yep.
I know that's not sound medical advice in 2024, but you know what?
Or any medical advice.
You know. not even advice,
but you know.
You know, as I get older, I got to stick with what works for me.
That it goes down like water. I mean, what I'm trying to say. The first sip is just very light.
Yes, nice.
It's very light, nice. but it packs a flavor.
If you noticed, it's 95 proof.
I saw that.
Yeah.
So, being higher proof than most, that's very yes.
Oh man, exactly. I can get in trouble drinking. This is. I could drink this on a summer porch.
Yeah. Careful, you go from damp January to soaked.
Sloppy January
before it's all
be out in the backyard drooling.
What are you drinking here? What's this mash bill consist of?
Okay, so we'll share it, and I don't want to put you guys out on a skinny limb and then get the chainsaw out. And
No. Well, I mean, you don't have to go into detail. I don't want to steal trade secrets. But we're drinking a combination of something.
Actually.
Are we?
It's as old school as it gets.
Yeah.
Tell me.
It's 100% corn.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. There you go.
Impressive.
That is.
Impressive.
When I was making moonshine in college, okay, and selling it to my advisors in the Department of Agriculture.
How'd that work out for you?
It helped.
Yeah. The reason I asked that is I had a similar relationship with a geology professor. Yeah, and there's no way I should have passed that class.
but no, my grandfather was a moonshiner back in the day and literally load up the truck in Kentucky, drive up to Detroit.
What part of Kentucky are you from?
Eastern.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pike County.
And drive up to either Detroit or Cleveland, and on Fridays everybody got paid cash and they sold out the truck of moonshine and drove back to Kentucky. So
your roots go deep as far as making whiskey.
Very.
Yeah. Well, this is delicious. 100% corn. Nice. That's impressive.
But that's what's unique about it. It really does bring out every grain has its own profile, mm-hmm. if you will. And the age. And it's not young, so it doesn't taste like moonshine.
No, it doesn't. I think that's probably to the benefit of that bottle, the fact that you said this one's how old? 7 years old? Almost seven?
2 6.5s, 2 7.5s. I can't say seven.
Okay,
right.
That's because with the youngest.
Right.
But
yes.
But the makeup is
yes. Gotcha.
Of those two.
And heavy char barrels. I mean, they're 4 char. So
that's what I think
that gives a
that
little
flavor.
It's yeah.
We did not
corn right in front.
We went smooth, with a boom, what char whatever. Level did we three. Go with on
yeah, we were mid yeah, on both.
We went the middle. We went the middle with our char level on our. We didn't go heavy. Like because a, I didn't want to. I didn't want to go heavy. I wanted to go, considering we had a 4-grain whiskey, I didn't want to go with a heavy char.
But tasting this, man, I'm thinking, I'm rethinking that. I wish we had a 4.
So if you once you sample it, you can always add staves into the barrel.
Mm-hmm.
That will...
which is what Maker's Mark does.
Okay.
Well, we were talking before the podcast that we have put our whiskey business... brew, if you will, into the barrels over at Echo Spirits. So and now we just have to wait for 2+ years to drink our very young bourbon, which hopefully we'll have a sense of maturity, despite the fact that it'll be youthful. But we're excited about it. And you asked me how did it taste coming out, and it was magnificent.
Mm-hmm. That and that's again, that's the foundation. If it's coming off the still. And it's good. And
yeah,
you taste the different very tasty. Flavors.
It was.
Then everything else is a nuance that you're putting to it. The wood is a nuance. The type of wood, the type of barrel, American oak, which is what you got to put your bourbon in. Mm-hmm. If it's going to be bourbon, American oak has got a very strong oaky flavor. French oak is like a slap on the face.
Yeah,
Hungarian oak is like a gentle pat. Okay, so you can get different flavors out of the wood. One is the char, but the char, a big part of the char is, it's like activated carbon. It's grabbing the stuff. We've all had moonshine, I assume, okay?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
that, I don't want to say rocket fuel, wild, taste that you can get in your mouth, okay? Every time it passes through or past that char, it's going past it, and the carbon is picking up those things that you don't like, which is why the more it ages, the more cycles it's in and out of the wood, tends to make it smoother,
yeah,
if you will.
We are debating putting some of it off to the side and let it age a little longer, but with only one barrel.
One thing you could do, Dino, is purchase one of the smaller barrels.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're considering.
And then fill that
once.
But make sure it's got the same width of staves, how thick they are. If you buy the little cheap barrels,
mm-hmm.
your angel share, you're going to go back, you put a couple gallons in, you're going to come back and maybe get 2 glasses.
Yeah, that's not...
Get so much evaporation because it's not enough wood to keep it from...
Well, and thank you for sharing that, because we've made this point very clear in the 7 years that we do this. We are not whiskey experts by any stretch of the imagination. We are, on the other hand, whiskey enthusiasts, and we have learned a lot over the course of time, but we just love whiskeys and trying different whiskeys and the discovery part of it. And as I'm listening to you guys, I find it very refreshing, because bourbon and small batch distilleries and small distilleries have exploded here in recent years. And sometimes I wonder if some people are just like hopping on the bandwagon, like a lot of people started making beer. All of a sudden there were
the craft brewers.
Craft breweries everywhere. And I don't get that impression with Leather and Oak, that this was not something like, hey, bourbon's really hot, let's make a bourbon. This seems to be something that you guys have thought through and wanted to see come to fruition because of a love for the juice that we call bourbon whiskey.
And you mentioned juice. One of the things that we have found, because we've joined the American Craft Distillers Association. As well as the Ohio Distillers Guild. And there's a lot of our peers, even here in Ohio, that don't make their own juice.
Right.
And that's something we're very, very proud of.
You make your own
juice. We make our own juice.
That's huge. Yeah.
That's the history from you, Steve.
Yeah.
Where do you guys get your corn? Is it a specific spot?
No.
Okay. Just local corn.
So this is like a standard number two yellow corn, which...
It's like the pencil you take the test with.
If you're not buying cattle feed, you don't know what that means. But anyway, so.
All right.
He's not. No.
But it's just standard field corn. There's no, there's nothing extra.
Sure.
Okay. So, I was down in Cabo, San Lucas, and I had gone to a distillery down there, and I was tasting one of their products, and it was all made with sweet corn. It had a different profile to it. Okay. Didn't have the depth, but it had a lot of sweetness. Mm-hmm. And you're getting a lot of sweetness out of here that is either a caramel or a toffee, again, depending on your taste buds. Okay.
I don't know. I'm going to have to pour a little bit more in
there. Okay, try that.
I have to examine it a little bit further because I was distracted by the engaging conversation. And
a lot of vanilla. The vanilla's coming from the oak. That doesn't come from the corn.
Yeah.
That developed sweetness, again, think of corn sweeteners, in pop or whatever, do you know what I'm saying? That kind of stuff. So it's corn is a very sweet grain.
Do you need to be damp?
Barley?
Yeah, I do.
He needs a little more damp.
The more I drink, the more it reminds me of that moonshine corn finish. Maybe it's just the ice is melting. Let me taste some more.
You know what?
Oh, man.
There's an ice cube in there.
You are weak. Weak. Wonderfully weak.
That's okay. But your different grains are going to give you a different profile.
Yeah.
Okay. Corn's going to be very sweet. Your barley is going to have a lot of sweetness to it also. Rye is going to give you more of a clean but a peppery finish typically.
Yeah.
Okay. And wheat is going to just kind of dampen it down. I hate this term, but call it earthy. What does that mean? Are we putting dirt? We're putting dirt in our mouth? No. It's more of an umami kind of thing that it adds to whiskeys. Okay, from it just smooths it out a little bit.
So you said that this is 100% corn. There's no other grains in this.
No other grain in this at all.
That is incredible.
It is incredible. It's great because we went with a 4-grain whiskey, as I was telling you before the podcast.
Which, again, everything has its own personality.
And we went with blue corn.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's going to be interesting because I wanted to, I said, we're going to make a whiskey barrel. Let's do something kind of different and experiment a little bit more.
So that's the interesting part. And part of what we've done, not with this, we were not the ones that picked out where the corn came from, if you will. Okay. But, like rye that's grown here in Ohio is grown as a cover crop. So genetically, they don't give a crap. Can I say that on the radio?
Sure.
Okay. No, yeah, you can say whatever you want.
I could say that. Okay.
Say whatever you want.
I could have been a little more explosive with the language, but
I'll say it. They didn't give a fuck.
They don't. Yeah.
Just to make you feel
genetically, it's a mutt. Okay. Yeah. So if you're going to get good rye, it's typically going to be more from the northern states, Canada, because it's a cold weather crop. It'll grow anywhere, anytime. Shorter lifespan, you know what I'm saying, from planting to harvesting. So, pure genetics have distinct flavors, okay? Distinct nuances that you're going to get from that standpoint. We were trying to get a rye that literally goes back to George Washington days, okay? But the state of Pennsylvania would not let us have it because it's here in Ohio. So we had to go find a farm, which we haven't done yet. We haven't, not that there's not farms in Pennsylvania, but we have not been able to get a farm that we could grow it there so that we could do kind of like what we're doing with the corn that
Gotcha.
We just picked up because they're the ones that had the last seed packet, and they don't want anybody outside of Pennsylvania getting it. But this is a heritage rye that goes all the way back, and it's very, very unique in its flavor profile.
So, Steve, you probably should tell the audience while we're talking about rye.
Oh, we harvested our first crop of rye.
Congratulations.
In July of this year.
Bravo.
And
Farmer Dave and Farmer Steve, we grew it ourselves.
Well, I was going to ask, let's define roles here for a second.
There are pictures.
Because you strike me, let's call you the chemist because you seem to.
Yes, the chemist.
You are the chemist. If you are the chemist, then Dave, you are the.
What do you always say, Steve?
The president.
The president.
Yeah.
So the chemist and the caretaker.
Yeah.
Yeah. The guy that's running, taking care of the stuff.
I'm the gopher.
Really. So, okay.
Dave, go and do this. Go and do
and,
that.
And a still hand.
Okay.
That's got a hell of a head of hair, by the way. Both of you are doing a great job.
Looking guys.
It's all the whiskey we drink.
See, it comes back to
good whiskey.
See?
Good whiskey.
See what I said? It's you know. I'm not a doctor, but I think I would have been a pretty bad one. So how much time does this take? Is this all you guys do now, or do you still maintain real other
careers? So I'm a investment advisor for Voya.
Jesus Christ, where were you 6 years ago?
That's what I do mainly. Steve, I'll let you say what you do.
It's kind of hard, but I'm in the energy and water business for my other two companies.
Okay.
So my son, who's just turned 24, is kind of our main person that does a lot of what we need him to do.
Yeah.
So he's our primary salesperson. Does a lot of tastings for us, but also mashes in. We just mashed in the rye.
Nice.
Pitched the yeast today.
And so, did he have any experience in this world prior to?
Well, so he was in chemical engineering at University of Cincinnati. And he had some health issues. And so he has an interest in this because
he likes liquor.
Yeah,
he's a 24-year-old Ohioan.
but distilling's chemistry. So
it is.
So it is. He and Steve go off on these tangents where you just roll your eyes and like, yeah, go, you know, do it, boys.
So how are things going? I was on your website and it said the company was founded in 2019, which isn't that long ago.
Correct.
You know, just a handful of years ago. So where are we from where we started?
Okay, so there was a thing called COVID.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
While we were originally looking to just transfer our permit from the other company to us, there were some issues that the other company might have had with the state of Ohio and Jobs Ohio. And so that was when we just kept knocking our head against the wall from a timing standpoint. And
it was taking much more time than what to start over. So we just decided to start over.
Start over.
So
did you have to deal with our dear friend, Mr. James Canepa?
Actually, he's been a very good friend.
He's been a great friend of the podcast. So. And he's coming back on because now he's the pot czar. So we're going to get him back on.
No, that part, once we decided to just ditch the other name, which we weren't going to keep anyway, but not try to do the permit, everything went through pretty well. But because of COVID, the inspectors weren't coming out to the site. So we had to go out, do panoramic views of our site and show the stuff. And we're doing this stuff all by telephone.
Remotely.
Yeah. Ultimately, got everything taken care of, got our permit. So our bourbon is literally less than a year on the street. So it came out in February of last year. Of 23. I was going to say this year, but it's last year.
I want to say the 5th of February.
Yeah.
Wow. That's patience, gentlemen. That's a lot of patience.
Well, that's what farmers do. Yeah. Because you plant your corn in April and you harvest it hopefully in October.
I understand.
Well, then you make this and you wait for 5 or 6 or 7 years and you're praying that the weather's good and everything's great. And
do you, you mentioned your son, families, are the families been supportive of this adventure, or were they going?
Well, you would laugh. Our wives, we actually get them to come in and
they help bottle.
Okay, I was trying to hedge around it. I don't know what your marital status are. I don't know. I don't know if starting Leather and Oak ended up in divorce,
right?
Or if there's still harmony in the family, so they're supportive.
They enjoy it. So my wife retired June of 2022, and she likes it. I mean, her and Steve's wife Karen have become close just because they're sitting there talking about us
while they're putting labels on.
Okay, that's good. I mean, I think that's great that they have an involvement in
this.
This
is really DIY. I mean, this is. It's very fun because we'll talk to somebody like at Middle West, for example, who's now the 10th biggest company in the world.
And we know Ryan real well.
Exactly. So it's just fun to see you guys doing it, by hand. It's just awesome.
Well, when that says handmade,
it's handmade.
Trust me.
Yeah, this is part of the conversation tonight too. This is Anna's homemade limoncello. When
handmade,
Yeah, I said handmade.
You said homemade.
I said handmade.
Okay.
Play the tape back.
No, we really. Maybe I said really homemade.
I don't know.
Really
it's okay.
We're gonna talk about this here in just a second because when I was emailing you, you were telling me that you were busy
last weekend, yes.
Bottling like 1,300
bottles.
1,600.
Okay. 1,605.
Right. 1,605 of them. That was close.
That's my hand.
And we have to report this shit.
I understand.
Sorry.
I put each and every one of those damn caps on. So.
Well done, because I'm about to just destroy
rip it off.
Yeah. And I asked them, limoncello, because we love our limoncello. Hansberry has made some limoncello.
Yeah, I haven't in a couple of years, but my mom's got a recipe.
I can't wait to see what you say.
It's going to be great.
And gosh, the Italian Club have made some limoncello. We have some in the freezer there. So, and I said, maybe one can fall off the truck. And you said, yeah, we share. So thank you for bringing this. We're going to try it as well. We're going to close with this.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's what you do in it. After dinner, right?
Right,
we'll
and
bourbon for dinner and limoncello for
dessert. Okay, so it's been this hasn't been on the streets that long. How's it being received? Because it's being received very well here.
Right.
I mean, anybody that watches this podcast on a regular basis knows when we're bullshitting and when we're sincere. And this is really, really good.
It is.
I'm telling
you. The fact that we keep pouring it.
If people taste it,
yeah,
they buy it.
Yeah, right.
That's what we've got to do. That is our single biggest, I don't want to say hurdle, but what we have to deal with is getting people to taste it.
Are you getting shelf space?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So we were very fortunate. State of Ohio, when you first come out, they will typically give you 5 agencies that you're allowed to go into, which is a good thing. They want you to be able to support what you're doing. Right. So I appreciate that. We were, again, extremely fortunate. Instead of 5, we got 10.
Nice.
Agencies that we went into. Okay. our son, who...
his son, not mine. Or,
yeah. It's not our son.
You guys have really got to know. Yeah. We started distillery, and then we adopted.
The plot thickens. Yes.
Our son that worked with DHL. When DHL took over distribution in Ohio, which I don't know if you guys know that.
Yes.
Jim Canepa definitely knows that.
Yes.
Okay. when DHL took it over, that was our son's project with DHL. Ooh. Okay. So, hence, that's, we might have had a little juice, but we didn't use that. But we had a lot of guidance from our son, AJ.
Yeah.
And one of the things that when we did it, it was like the limoncello came out first. It's been out a year. And AJ goes, Dad, because the agencies all have to buy by the case from the state.
Gotcha.
Okay. They don't get a buy by the bottle.
No.
The restaurants and bars can buy from the bottle, you know what I'm saying, on a wholesale basis. So we started off with our 10 agencies. And we picked all wholesale agencies, not just one. In other words, so they service bars and restaurants, with one exception, and that was Carfagna's. Carfagna's is the largest seller of limoncello in the state of Ohio. So we knew we were going to go there. We wanted to start with those guys from that standpoint. So what we've done is try to be strategic, because the state measures us based on the turns on the shelf, days in inventory.
It's a business.
It's a business. It is a business. And that's what we're
held. You might say it's a whiskey business.
Ah, it is.
Hey, Chip chiming in at the right time.
Yes, it
Bravo.
Is.
Well done, sir. Well done.
So so what we've done, we're up to 24 agencies now.
Nice.
Okay. And what we've tried to do is strategically pick up like two wholesale agencies for every retail agency we pick up.
Okay.
In other words, because the retail guys are not going to move stuff as fast as the wholesale
guys, right?
So that we can keep, in other words, it's a business strategic move that we're trying to expand.
It was very strategic because we met our minimum, within 2 months for the year?
Correct.
Okay.
So
go ahead, finish before I ask this question.
No, made us very happy.
Yeah. So as an investment guy, somebody who's been doing something for so long, did this seem like a good investment at the time?
Yes and no. No. Let me explain.
No.
If
don't ask our wives.
No, if I was looking at it purely from investment returns, there's much better options.
Sure.
But when Steve and I sat down and explored buying the assets, I mean, we both had a passion to do this and make it operate. But even if we just took the assets and flipped them,
we would have made
seven, 800% returns.
Okay, all right. So there's some investment smarts.
That's how I thought about it.
But was there also a thought process, in particular with this particular product, where for just a minute it was about passion and not so much about profit?
It's passion, I can tell you, because we didn't flip it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
you could have.
We could have taken the fast buck.
We spoke about that, but you know the thing was, so we had to move the barrels from the previous distillery to our own bonded warehouse, and so Steve and I are like up there tasting, and Dino, by the end of it, we were crawling.
We had to inspect the product and make sure that it wasn't watered down.
Okay? Yeah,
we're thief in barrels.
But the point of it I was trying to make was that we're like, damn, this stuff's really good.
Explain, justify, or rationalize, right? Yeah. Yeah. Hansberry, there's no rationalization.
No, none needed.
No.
So again, we once we really got into it, it's like, oh wow, so we've got something here, and the response from the public has been phenomenal. I mean, as Steve said, we get someone to taste it, they're going to be our customer.
Well, you asked me when we were emailing back and forth if I got to try your stuff at the Great Debate, which I hosted the Great Debate, the Ohio State Michigan, and I told you that I got there almost at the start time, so no, I did not. get to try it. So I was really excited, and now I'm disappointed that I didn't get to try it back then. So I had a little, would have had a little more knowledge about what I was drinking. But at the same time, now I'm also pleased that I'm completely surprised and pleasantly surprised. I mean, that's the beauty of bourbon drinkers, whiskey drinkers, when you come across something brand new, despite the fact that we've had over 260 whiskeys on this show. So to be able to say, wow, found something new and exciting that tastes great and goes down great and it's local.
I think that's what I was trying to get at earlier. What I'm excited about is all you articulated that very well. And the fact that you're still the one slapping the labels on. That's just, it's cool to support the real DIY local guys.
You speak about the great debate. So, you know, many people sampled our product. We just had picked up Cemetery Road Kroger as an agency. We can't keep the stuff in stock there. I mean, the reception from that event has been over the top.
So you get the Hilliard love.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And you're based in Hilliard too, right? So,
which they didn't have any wholesale agencies, so that wasn't where we could go to begin with.
Oh,
right. I mean, so we're sending them to Dublin or Grove City or wherever because there was no wholesale agencies in Hilliard. So Dave and I, we are committed. If it's not a great product, and when I say great, in my business career, one of the things that I would always give out to anybody that came to work for us is a little book called The Raving Fan. I don't know if you've ever read it.
Not familiar with it.
It'll take about an hour and a half, but the bottom line is
2 hours for me.
It's all about becoming a raving fan. Think of what Cameron Mitchell does. You could go into Cameron Mitchell restaurant and say, can I get some barbecue potato chips with that? They'll go, hang on. And they're going to send somebody out to get them. Okay? Because you want it, we're going to take care of you.
Take care of it.
Okay? You want people to become raving fans of what you do. Service is the product. That is what we are trying to do. We decided from the very beginning this was going to be an organically grown business, because if it wouldn't stand on its own 2 feet, we're not going to throw a bunch of money at it. It was not from a business perspective, but it's like you can go bulldoze your way into a marketplace. Mm-hmm. But if it's not a campfire that just is kind of continuing to grow and those coals within the people, then you're not going to get long term.
I will be the last one, and I would deny this every step of the way, but I also can't ignore the fact that I think that tonight in doing this is a good omen of things to come, because like I said, we've been doing this podcast for almost eight years. We have been with Watershed in their infancy after their first bourbon, and when they made vodka and gin and decided we're going to make bourbon, and have seen them jump leaps, bounds, and have made amazing bourbon. And I've talked to Greg about that first release of bourbon and where their bourbon is now, night and day.
Right.
So we've had High Bank on in their infancy, and now they are expanding and growing. We talked to Middle West when they were just in that one little section, and we were talking, and now huge. Echo, same thing, you know, when all they had was their rye, and now they're getting into bourbon.
And one of the best cocktail bars in the city.
And one of the best cocktail bars in the city. So I guess my point being is, you're on the right path.
Yes.
You're in your infancy, much like those other places were. So
it's the whiskey business touch.
It's
the kiss.
A couple of years from now, we're going to be talking about...
He's anointing
we're,
us.
We're going to talk about the rye when it comes out, because you're going to make a rye, and you're going to call me and say the rye is ready. Come back on the podcast. Hopefully we're all still alive.
Hopefully.
And able to do it. But... And I joke when I say that whiskey business has nothing to do with it.
No.
It has absolutely nothing to do with it at all whatsoever. But I also can't deny the fact that we've been friends with all these local distillers through the years and have watched them grow and prosper. And I think that's a great
thing. It's a reasonable goal to achieve.
So I hope the same kiss happens, here
amen,
tonight.
Amen, brother.
Right?
Yes, amen.
And we're running out of time. I want to get to this limoncello before we say goodnight. Tell me about Anna's handmade limoncello. Who's Anna, first of all?
She is the sweetest little old Italian lady that you could have ever met.
Younger than Steve, but she's old.
She slaps me every time I say that.
It's funny.
I'm younger than you, and she is.
Did I grab
My wife and I were down in North Carolina working on my sister-in-law's house. They were the neighbors across the street. They invited us over for dinner. I had never tasted limoncello in my life.
Really?
Never. Okay. And I'm going, oh my God, this is so good.
Sneaks up on you.
And they make it. And I'm going, okay, how do you make it? What's the deal? She goes, Steve, this recipe's been in our family for over 100 years. I can't share this with anybody.
All four ingredients.
But the process.
Yes, but the pre. Yeah, huh?
It is. I'm telling you.
That's the process. Huge difference.
The process.
Huge difference.
Okay? Huge difference. Yeah.
That's the chemistry. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, anyway, I begged and begged. I was down there for a week. I begged. That's why I had knee surgery twice.
Okay. You're down on your knees.
I was down on my knees begging.
Cheers, gentlemen.
And.
Continue. We're just getting ahead of things a little bit. But continue, Steve. Please. You begged and begged and begged.
Ultimately, she shared the recipe with me. I've been making this for about 17 years now. Mm-hmm. 18 years.
Oh, so this goes way, way back.
Okay.
Way back. Oh, my God.
So I've been.
Dangerous.
I've been making it for tailgates and Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
Two or three gallons at a time.
That's what we used to
do.
Put old orange juice jugs.
Yep. Glug, okay. Glug, 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 glug.
So,
Hansberry, I love you to death. Your limoncello is great. I love it, but
it was not this.
This is not it. Was, it's not
so,
this. But yours is good. Yours is good.
I'm not a professional. All
it's okay. It's okay.
You're breaking my heart.
It's process. It's process. It's process.
You tell my naughty that.
So, ultimately, every distillery, whether it's Middle West, uh-huh, Brian Lang, Greg Lehman, okay, Watershed, those guys, everybody, if it takes you 7 years to put this on the street, you got to have a clear. That's why they came out with a vodka and a gin.
Sure. As Greg said.
You got to pay the bills.
You got to pay the bills. You got to keep the lights on.
Keep the lights on, right?
Yes.
Got to keep the lights on.
You got to pay the
bills.
That's
why they went with vodka. That's when they went with gin.
So,
and had bourbon in the back of their brains.
So part of our strategic
vision.
Yeah.
Whether it was foggy or whatever, okay, was this is our clear. This we can have done in 60 to 90 days.
So you're not doing a vodka or a gin, just limoncello.
What's your base you use for this? Are you, well, alcohol. You're not allowed to say.
Yeah, alcohol.
Okay.
Booze. Not benzene.
Are you making it or no? Are you allowed to say?
No.
Okay.
You what?
Not right now.
What was your question?
If they made the base spirit. Oh.
There's no value in us making that because we can buy that base spirit way cheaper than we can make.
Fair enough.
Just
fair enough.
Got it.
Okay.
Fair enough. Is Anna happy?
You know,
or her face is on the label.
Is she happy?
She's happy.
She's happy. She's good. She's so good.
She's
getting a little taste.
Oh, she's had it.
When I mean a taste, I don't mean like a taste of the limoncello. She knows what that tastes like. I'm saying, is she getting the taste?
That's right.
I know a lot of old Italian
in a Steubenville way. Yeah. Is that what you're talking about?
Is she getting the taste?
Are you?
She's good.
She's good.
She's good.
No, we were just talking about Steubenville earlier.
We're talking about Steubenville. He knows.
I get it.
I get. Yeah.
So, okay. So what?
As long as Anna gets it, yeah. Now I'm good.
So what's so interesting? We were talking about the whiskey festivals going out, getting her name out. So all these wives get drugged to these whiskey festivals.
Uh-huh.
They just loathe it. But we found this summer.
They didn't loathe.
They're like, oh my gosh, yeah.
And if you get the wives on board, then
yeah, for sure.
You're all in. So obviously, I think you like it.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Excellent.
Okay.
It's wonderful.
It makes a great cocktail.
Mm.
Throw some ginger beer in, make a Sicilian mule.
Oh,
okay.
Interesting.
Throw some cranberry in.
Hand that to me, please.
And
because I can tell you once more.
That's awesome. Okay.
All right.
So my favorite recipe that's on our website.
I saw the recipes. Those are good recipes.
Okay.
Those are fun. Yeah.
So that the lemon meringue pie martini.
Ooh.
If you like lemon meringue pie, it's like it's drinking so a piece of lemon meringue pie.
Oh, man. When the mule. Is that a play on the Moscow mule?
Yes.
Oh, Sicilian, you mean it's a Sicilian mule.
Sicilian mule.
Yeah, it comes from Italy. Yeah, Italy.
So it's like a Moscow mule, but it's a Sicilian mule.
No, it's not Moscow.
I don't know.
It's limoncello.
It's limoncello versus vodka.
You said
Mom!
My 19-year-old daughter, her go-to drink is at home is making Moscow mules out of the ginger beer.
You don't need to use the simple sugar with this. You just add this.
Yeah.
You add give her that ginger
and
beer.
Watch her dismiss the Moscow mule and switch, and she'll be the.
She'll say goodbye to Putin.
She'll say goodbye. She'll be the talk. She's in college,
where'd
right?
You pull
She'll be the talk of her.
She'll be giving you winter jackets.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right, I would have to do
introduce
that.
Her to the Sicilian mule.
I will.
Where
can we pick this up, this Anna's? Where can we get that?
Everywhere.
Everywhere?
Have you heard of
Kroger's?
OHLQ?
No, what is that?
It's a website, OHLQ.com.
Liquor control.
Oh, liquor.
That's right. Okay,
yes, you heard of it.
I've heard of it, yeah.
It's a website.
So you type in Anna, and I'm telling you, there's no other, nothing else will show up.
Okay, and that'll tell me where it is.
Yes, so where do you live?
Worthington.
Okay, so Worthington.
Yeah, not there.
Chateau.
On Polaris.
On Polaris.
Carfagnas.
Carfagnas.
On Gemini Parkway.
And Chateau on Sawmill.
Okay.
Yeah, Chateau on Sawmill. Those are the same
location.
The same guys that have the same liquor store on Bethel Road.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Are you guys at the arena downtown as well?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
That's where I go. On my way back from work.
Sonny and the boys.
Yeah. Sonny does it.
Sonny, they're very near and dear to me for years.
Box today,
Mr. Dino? No, not a box today.
Just a half box.
Half box.
Box today.
On Bethel Road. You talking about the one at Bethel?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they know you for sure.
Yeah, box today, Mr. Dino. No, not a box, boys. Just a half a box. No, they've been very good to me over the years as well.
So, we've been very well received, and we're doing very well. We're inside of all the numbers that the state wants to see.
Good.
So it's just a function of getting out there, getting people to taste it.
It's touches.
Is your production growing with your distribution right now, or you're kind of at a point where you're
going to expand? We're just keep going. We want to expand our facility.
Ah, that's good.
Which we haven't done yet, but
you're in Hilliard, Ohio now.
No.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Next steps.
Right? Yeah. My next step is going to go back to the bourbon. So, then I'm going to go to bed.
But everything we're doing is trying to grow it organically. It doesn't do any. You can throw money at a problem or something. It doesn't solve the problem. It's getting the people to buy the product.
To become a raving fan.
That's right.
There you go. Handspray. Nice callback. Well done.
Have you been listening?
Yes.
I'm done for the night.
He has been. Wow. Shocker. Good for you.
Maybe this damp January's got something.
January. I can't put two thoughts together. Damn January. I'm bringing back callbacks. All right. Before we go, I want just a little side note. It's funny how sometimes lines cross over the years. And Steve shared something with me, and he goes, "You probably don't remember me." And I said, I don't. But apparently we have shared space.
For many years.
Many years.
Many, many painful years.
Painful years. We were both in C4 at Nationwide Arena. I for 10 years,
hockey.
You for
13.
We were in the club section 4 of Nationwide Arena for the Columbus Blue Jackets.
The original seasons.
The original season. The original seasons. It's the first season and 10 more after that. And so I don't even want to know what you remember seeing because we.
Not much.
You guys were the same time?
There were a lot of Labatts.
There were a lot of Labatts. Everybody I took to that to a Blue Jackets game, every time the Blue Jackets scored, we would go do a shot. And if you recall, on C4, at that particular level, they did not have a measured pour. If you, I don't know if you recall.
I
that.
Do.
So
Sherm.
Yes, Sherm was the best. Sherman. Oh my God, Sherman was the, was so
he was and his bartender.
Wife. Yeah,
and his wife.
She was one section down. I love Sherm.
Sherman was wonderful. Sherman was so great, and he would be so happy when he saw us. And then the bartenders that were at the bar. I mean, those were.
It was precious times.
They just as frustrating as they are now as they were then, but it was a great time, and we were in the same section. Did we talk? Did we speak?
No.
So how did you know I was there?
Because I knew you.
Everyone knows you.
Everyone knows Dino Tripodis.
No, everybody doesn't.
You're famous. You're in billboards and shit.
At least 20 years ago.
Billboards. You're hating.
Thank you for bringing me back down. Thank you for bringing me back down to humble ground, Hansberry. Thank you. Thank you for bringing me back down to humble ground. It's funny because it's true. Oh man,
we love each other.
Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
We appreciate it.
No, I wish you nothing but incredible success. Please, let's stay in touch. Keep us updated as you continue to grow and prosper. You know, I said before the podcast that I, as much as I love bourbon, rye edges it out.
So we'll bring back our rye.
We're going to be distilling and some
and
next
our Jimmy,
week.
Our Jimmy Red.
Might be some in your future.
You said two things at one time. There's a rye, and then you said something about
and then our Jimmy Red Corn.
Your Jimmy Red Corn. When's that coming out?
Red Corn.
Well, we have to plant it this spring.
We've got to plant the corn. Okay. Well, we're not going
April, anywhere. October, I understand. Next year.
Okay.
25.
And when
there might be some rye in your future.
How soon in my future?
How clear do you want to taste it?
I would love to taste it.
Okay. It's excellent right now.
Because it's awesome off the still. So one of the things.
Here, do this now. Invite me out. Invite me out to the.
Do this okay. now. Yeah.
Do this. Invite
done.
Me out.
Done.
Invite me out. Invite me out.
I'm going to text you when we're distilling next week.
Okay.
And you
because I don't know if you noticed in my emails, I put my phone number.
I saw that.
Yeah, I put my phone number.
I
so
never
you
called
text.
You because
you
I don't want to.
You can.
But I didn't because
I don't put
I'm,
it, I
don't, I'm not.
I put it in there so you can. Here, call me. Text me.
Okay.
It's easier because I don't always see the emails as soon as I need to see
good.
Them.
It's all good. So
you remember my number too, right? So when he gets that.
So next week. You got to join the.
All of us. Are you kidding? This is
so
a very
no.
close-knit
so
group.
So when we're going to run this still next week.
Do you always have to run it here?
I'd love to have you guys come out and just taste it right off the still.
Yeah. But
okay. All right. I'm in for that.
Because still that's the foundation. That's what you're going to get.
We do remotes.
Yeah.
We did two different yeast. And I would love to have your opinion for our tasting panel.
All right.
Okay.
Our professional tasting panel.
Steve, what we should do is do a remote. We had a little sidebar here. Dino could get it right off the still.
Mm.
Oh.
And live.
Okay, Johnny, you'd be in for that?
Yeah, I'm
bring
done.
Bring a camera out there and,
sure.
and do a live.
Let's do it.
And do it not on minutes of live, but record something.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Yeah.
While we're talking about, is it open to the public? Do you do tours? Is that or is that not quite there yet?
No, you can call us.
Okay. Right.
And if we're there,
by appointment,
you can come
by appointment.
And if we're there working,
you can put them to work.
You can come, and you can put labels on bottles. You can do whatever.
Yeah.
It's a hands-on experience.
And, no, we so actually what? We provide cigars,
every bottle,
and drinks.
Yes,
label.
It's like
there you go.
Park.
Yes,
That's fun.
Bottled by. See?
Yeah. Bottled by. Yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
Bottled by Greg Hansberry.
Let's do it. Normally, I'm emptying the bottles.
No, that's...
That's my next after. Door neighbor. Okay. No, that's my next
so
door neighbor.
So, on the bottling machine, once the bottle gets full, the vacuum pulls off everything extra into a...
Oh, there's a little spit valve.
Oh, no. It's not a spit valve. It's a big-ass container, okay? Ooh. So, we have to empty that.
Sure.
Okay?
You've heard the angel share, right?
Yeah.
The devil's
share.
This
is the poor man's share.
Okay.
It's the Hansberry. We're going to call it the Hansberry share.
All right. We got to wrap it up.
Real quick, Dino, we got to do a shout-out to Hope Beverick, who helped us.
She's our social media person.
Hope is our lady.
She Hope is the one out. That actually hooked us up, right?
Yeah. She's in a sorority that my wife is a sorority person. So, but she's not in it right now, but she's one of the, yeah.
Once a sorority member... Always a sorority.
Yeah, so Hope graduated from Otterbein, but she's actually my son Ian, who we spoke about earlier, his significant other.
Oh, there you go.
So,
Opa!
So Steve and I with social media are like Fred and Barney.
Yeah.
You know? Where's Mr. Slate? Are you peddling or me?
Well, when she found out that her husband, my wife, was involved in a podcast, she's like, can we be on your podcast?
Absolutely.
And she hooked
and
us
you
up.
Are. She did good. Yeah. Yeah. She did her job.
Thank you. Hope.
Thank you so very much.
Yes. No, thank you. Great. Thank you. I can't think of a better way to kick off the new year with a new bourbon. That hasn't been on the street, as you said earlier,
less
that long.
Year.
Right. And let's spread the word. Let's get it out there.
If they taste it, I think they'll love it.
I totally concur. If you taste this, you will love it. And what's your retail for?
$59.85
is good.
That's correct.
95 proof.
$29.
Oh, 95. Even better.
Wow. 99.
Yeah. 95.
So for all the people out there that are looking at whiskeys, though, it's typically $10 per year.
Yeah.
Of age.
Can I see this?
So that's actually a...
The numbers guy's talking. I get it.
I've never heard
that's why he's the president.
He's the chemist and the caretaker.
But that's actually, you know, you have to think about that. So I go in and look at something. And if it's 4 years old and it's $85, I'm like,
Yeah, it's kind of tough, right? You got to decide.
Yeah. Okay. So. Fair enough. No, I think that's very reasonable. We're taking a road trip to Hilliard, boys.
Behind the bottle.
Another behind the bottle.
Really good time.
And you know what, Steve? Just for old time's sake, let's hook up and go to a Blue Jackets game together.
You know what? Let's go to a box this time.
Yeah, let's go. Are you paying?
Yeah.
Oh, Whiskey Business is the podcast. Not so fun, much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey.
Yes, this one.
Yes, tonight. Please. Yes. Don't forget to like and subscribe on YouTube.
Yep.
That's where you see all the uncut version of the podcast. Yep. All of our ugliness just rolls right across the screen. And if...
All right, Chip, give me the
mic. Our website. Let him try. Let him try.
Okay, and we, of course, are on Facebook and Instagram.
Uh-huh.
And
our website.
Our website is Dino Tripodis.
No, our website is whiskeybusinesspod.com.
Yes, whiskeybusinesspod.com.
Pod.com, yes.
Yes.
Where you can see.
And Evergreen.
Yes.
And Evergreen, our podcast network. And also on whiskeybusinesspod.com, you can also check out a little something that I wrote called New Year's Heave.
Yes. The website is a great place to feature a lot of Dino's writings that don't have a home.
New Year's Heave.
Yeah, New Year's Heave.
About so much starting anew, but finishing things and getting rid of things in your life that might actually...
Take you across the line.
Yes. Take you across the line and start something.
Yeah, that is your newest one, but it also links you to your previous writings.
Previous ones as well.
Dino's writings. He's a prolific writer, so I would recommend you check that out.
All right, we got to go. Once again, let me put this in front of the camera one more time. Leather and Oak available in over 24 agencies as we speak, right?
OHLQ.com.
OHLQ.com. Jim Canepa, if you're listening, we need you back on the podcast to talk about some other things. But thank you for doing right by these guys.
Nate Murphy's another guy who is just phenomenal with OHLQ.
He is.
Yeah.
All right.
And James Moore. I mean, yeah.
And Andemic, have you dealt with Andemic? Our friend Andemic.
Oh, you know what? Yes.
Yes.
She's
yes.
quite lovely.
She's lovely. Everybody, thank you so much for listening to Whiskey Business and watching Whiskey Business over all the years. Thank you for joining us for this first podcast of the brand new year. I can't think of a better way to start with Steve and Dave. Thank you so much for being here tonight.
Greatest year.
Yeah, it's going to be a good
start. Here's
to
2024, man.
2024. Drink more in 2024. Until the next bottle. See ya.
'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Burn the Boats from Evergreen Podcasts. I interview political leaders and influencers, folks like award-winning journalist Soledad O'Brien and conservative columnist Bill Kristol, about the choices they confront when failure is not an option. I won't agree with everyone I talk to, but I respect anyone who believes in something enough to risk everything for it. Because history belongs to those willing to burn the boats. Episodes are out every other week wherever you get your podcasts.